Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240 for Autumn Semester 2021. Today, review for the final exam. I will also quickly go through the quiz 8 just to cover the questions there, and I'll tell you what I expect from there on the final exam. So get ready for a fun ride. Now, when I'm finished with the review, I sent you a link to the student evaluation for the course, and I anticipate that you will all do that. I will give you time here at the end. You can do it, or it's open until 10 o'clock tonight. But I strongly request that you get it done, mainly because the only people who usually do it are the ones who have something to gripe about, and so everything looks really bad. So if whatever you want to say, just do that survey. It'll make me a happy person, or maybe not. Anyway. Let me go through the meat grinder with you on that quiz 8, and then from there we'll go on to the review, general review for the final. Like I said, quiz 8 was a prep for the final, so about everything you see here is something that will be or could be on the final exam. So make sure that you know what to do here. Now, this one, I will definitely hit you with this one on the final exam. When net operating working capital goes up, free cash flow goes down. And when net operating working capital goes down, free cash flow goes up. Simply because if your net operating working capital has gone up, then your current assets have gone up faster than your current liabilities, which means that is a money sponge. It's sucking money away. Make sure you know that. I will find a way to ask that. On the final also, I will give you one where I'll give you current assets and current liabilities for 2 years for an actual corporation. And then I will say, find the change in net operating working capital. So this whole thing about net NOWC is going to be something for the exam. Write it down now so that you'll know that this is something you need to study. Federal Reserve Board of Governors, they regulate, and the district banks supervise. So that one's a false, because it says that the governors supervise and the banks regulate. No, it's the opposite. Now, I will ask something about the ethics as far as what is what. The greatest good for the greatest number is utilitarianism. The only other one that would have had any possibility would have been categorical imperative, but that's the one that says always do the right, what is you would want others to do as a right thing. There's no situational ethics to it. It's always do the right thing. Of course, capitalism is sort of the opposite of ethics. Now, you all got the credit for this one because somehow VeggieNet dropped H. H was the right one. The least often used is the required reserve ratio. The next one would be the discount rate. Now, every day, the Fed is executing open market operations, OMOs. They are the most frequently used of all of them. And don't let me bluff you with the federal funds rate. The Fed does not set the federal funds rate. So I want you to make sure that you appreciate that I can try to trip you up by somehow making it so that the Federal Reserve does manage the federal funds rate. It can affect it, but it doesn't set it. Now, this one is very easy. First thing is your unit margin is your price minus your unit price minus your unit cost. In this case, your unit margin is $120. All you have to do is take $4.5 million divided by $120, and there's your Uncle Bob. That's your answer. That's a break. That's how you find break even. Fixed cost divided by price minus variable cost per unit. So if I ask this on the final, it's like it should take you no more than about 5 seconds to get the answer. Just 4.5 divided by open parenthesis, 225 minus 105, close parenthesis equals. That's all there is to it. Now, fiduciary duty, the one that is not part of it is honesty. Fidelity, loyalty, and trust are the three pillars of fiduciary duty. Now, that PowerPoint presentation, most of you have been able to open it up, but a few of you can't. And it usually has to do with if it's a Mac or if you don't have Microsoft Office. If you don't, you can still go downstairs and just quickly jump on a computer down in the computer lab and download the PowerPoint there. And then once you open it there, just save it as a PDF. And each of the slides will be like one page of a PDF. So that's how you can, if you can't open the PowerPoint on your own computer. This one is one that I will do on the exam, something like this. You see, we found that this project had a net present value that was zero. That would mean that the discount rate we used was the internal rate of return, because the internal rate of return is the discount rate that makes the NPV zero. So, in other words, we know that 12.5% is the internal rate of return. So any discount rate below that, you would be in the positive part of the NPV profile. Any discount rate above that, you will be in the negative part of the NPV profile. So if we use 10%, we would have to be in the positive part of the profile. So we would have accepted the project. Now, this looks confusing at first, but if you can sort out what is actually being said here, it's kind of an obvious answer. And I will do one something like this on the final exam. It looks cool because you get the right answer. Most people can get the right answer, but it looks like a complicated question, but it's not. I'm just going around the barn a couple of times to get to the outhouse. There are 7 governors, 12 banks, and 12 voting members. These are just those ones that are I toss into the final exam just to see if I can get a couple of people to trip who aren't studying. In old language, we have questions that weed out the people who don't bother to come to class, who don't bother to study. And this is one of those. It's just, I give enough of those on an exam, and I'll get rid of the people who never bothered, who didn't care. Sounds harsh? Yeah. But then again, so am I. This one is, again, all you do is open your full calculator, turn it on, apps, finance, NPV. And then you just crank it on through. Just, okay, we had a 10%, it was an 8% discount rate. 8% discount rate, comma, negative 200,000, that's right, no, God, I can't do that, comma, then you open your braces, this is where you put in the positive free cash flows, 550,000, comma, 50,000, comma, eight. See, I did that just so you would see how easy it is to make that mistake. It's good that you caught it, because I wanted you to see, okay, the hell with it. Think of how bad I was. I taught arithmetic to remedial math at Ohio State for 9 years. God, I messed up a lot of people. And then the 40,000. Now here at the end, the only place that if you tripped up, it was here, because at this last year, you're going to put in the $20,000, and then this was a positive salvage value, so you add that $5,000. Now salvage value can be negative, so you would subtract it if it were. And then you close the braces, close the parentheses, and there's your answer. That easily. And this one is just a matter, you're going to have plenty of time to go through the exam and then go back and just do the problem again. Don't just look at your answer and say, it looks good. Do it again to see if you get the same answer. That's the best way you can check to see if you did it right. And as you can see, the most likely cause of getting it wrong is just going to be keying in a number wrong, like I did. Now, the next one was the internal rate of return. And all you have to do is just say second, edit, and then go back up there and get your NPV, apps, finance, and replace it with the internal rate of return, which is 8. And then get rid of that discount rate because you're finding the rate. And then just say enter. 8.62%. Now, this is one of those, it's a twofer. You got two of the harder questions on the test, and you can get them both done in a matter of under a minute, which gives you more time for other things on the test. Now, that's it. That's the quiz. Now, let me get down to the core here. Mute this camera. I could probably just put up this final exam for you to look at. Okay, let me pull it up here so I know what I'm saying here. Okay, first things first. Now, I had originally said 60 questions. Here's how I do an exam, like a final exam. My thought is that however long it takes me, it should take you about 3 times as long. So for a 120-minute exam, I would say that I should be able to finish it in under 40 minutes. Well, with 60 questions, I was finishing it in more than 40 minutes, about 45 minutes. So I brought it back down to 50 questions. So it's a 50-question final exam. Now, you can have 2 note cards, one from your midterm and then another one, and you can have your formula sheet. Don't rely on those, though, because that's more for you to learn and reinforce your knowledge of the material. They're all 2-point questions. Now, let me go through here real quick here. There will, as far as true and false, there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About 7 or 8. I think there's 7, but I might have missed one. far as multiple choice goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Looks like about 33 multiple choice. Now there will be one matching question. It's all or nothing. You've got to hit all of the matches right. That one will be based on the lecture I gave about the period from 1960 to 1980. I'll tell you a word or a term on one side, and then you have to match it to the president on the other side. And there will be five of them. Are there five of them? Yeah, five. No, four. So, in other words, I could, as an example, I could do one like, beware of the military-industrial complex. Okay? Then you'd have to match that to the president. Or I could say, war on poverty. You match it to the president that was associated with. Things like that. And or meow. Attach that to a president. So you have to have been there for that lecture or listened to the podcast of it to be able, you'd have very little chance otherwise. Now, numericals. Numeric questions, I'll hit first. I'll ask you one that was very similar to the question on the quiz where I give you the dividends for years 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then it stabilizes. So you have to find that horizon value in order to find the intrinsic price of a share of common stock. It'll be very similar to the one that was on the quiz like that. Now, one thing I try to do, I don't always do it, but I try to take a question like that from the quiz, copy it, paste it onto the final, and then change the number so that the wording is very similar. So that should, usually that's a way to trigger a thought chain. Oh, I know what this, how to do this because I've seen this before. I've seen the words in this order before. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, that'll be on there, promise you. You will have one on future value, like on the first on the midterm. Okay, I'm going to give you a bunch of, you're putting money in every week or every year or something like that. How much do you have after so many years? That's a future value of an annuity due. Straight up, I'm going to give you one of those. I'm going to give you a bond. I'll give you the yield, you find the price. I give you the price, you find the yield. Just like I did on the quiz. You've seen this before. Another one related to prices of debt. I will give you a problem similar to what happened during the auction with Mabel. Do you remember the auction with Mabel? You don't. You remember, don't you, Kareem? Yes. Yeah, the auction with Mabel. Give you a price of a one-year treasury bill, you find me the yield. Remember Earl? And all that, yeah, I'll give you one of those. They are really easy to do unless you make the put the wrong number in the denominator, and then you get it wrong. Yeah, I told you the one. I'm going to have you find a change in net operating working capital. And this is actually the actual numbers from a public corporation. So it's real stuff. Oh, a car loan or a home loan, find the payment and find the effective rate. I mean, that's just like classic what 240 is supposed to be about kind of thing. And again, if your calculator is going to be your best friend to do these. We don't do them with formulas like they still do in accounting. And in some finance, there's my colleague still is, well, I think they should do it by the formula. Okay. Yeah, and we should still be using stone tablets too. But let me look. Okay. Now again, I'm not telling you everything. I couldn't. I miss things. But just to go through some general ideas, general things that you should know, that I think you should know, anyway. I did a lecture on bond price dynamics. Okay, what happens to the price of a bond as it approaches maturity? What happens to the price of a bond as the coupon and yield spread apart from each other or get closer? Make sure you go clear back in this course to the very early stories and concepts. What is so different about a corporation from other types of business entities? In a corporation, who has the prior claim? Who has the residual claim? Now again, this is not a study guide. It helps you know some of the pathways, but there are many other ones I can take you down. I can't emphasize that enough. What does beta mean? And that goes to the whole issue of systematic and unsystematic risk. What's the capital asset pricing model? I could talk to you, ask you a question. Well, what happens to returns on stocks if the risk-free rate increases but the expected return to the market doesn't? What happens if the expected return to the market increases but the risk-free rate stays the same? What happens if they both change because of inflation? What happens to the returns on stocks of different betas? And in that same line of thinking, make sure you understand what that frontier of efficient investments meant. What did it tell us? What would a portfolio look like that was on it? Inside of the envelope. Which cost of capital is the biggest? Why is the smallest the smallest? Now, weeks ago, I harvested the returns for the Dow 30, the Standard & Poor's 500, and the NASDAQ for 1975 to 2020. What did I show you? What did you see? What was the purpose of my doing that? I didn't do that just for my health. It was to show you some things that were important that more or less confirmed one of the most basic rules of finance about risk and return. In another vein, what is the purpose of portfolio diversification? Why should you buy more than one stock for your portfolio? Now, let me make a quick mention. Ratios. Again, I don't have you calculate ratios, but I expect you to know ratios. Relative size. Which is larger, ROA or ROE? Which is smaller, inventory turnover or asset turnover? What would be a ratio that you would never want to see? Those kinds of things. So I'm looking for you to show me that you conceptually understand ratio relationships, their meanings. Now, I talked to you about the risk-free rate. I've asked you that on a quiz. I'm going to hit you with it again, you know, about what it is, what are the parts of it. Similarly, with the default maturity and illiquidity premiums, that is the risk premium. What drives it? Why would this rate on a loan be more than this rate on a loan? Which one of the factors or which one of the terms would be causing that? Why would a 10-year AAA corporate bond have a lower yield than a 20-year AAA corporate bond? That kind of thing. Component costs of capital. When we're talking about the cost of equity, the formula has several different parts to it. Okay? What would make the cost of equity go up? I mean, what happens if the price of the stock goes down? What does that do to the cost of equity? What happens if the growth rate of the company goes down? What does that do? What happens if the dividend goes down? What does that do? What is the effect of each of the components in the formula on the overall cost of equity? Now, I'll do another one. I've done this on the test. Who is the writer? Who is the investor in a loan? Who's the borrower? Who is the lender? Who's the buyer and seller and all that? Note, bond, et cetera. Bill, what's the difference between a note, a bond, and a bill? Probably ask you something about different kinds of bonds. I went through a bunch of them: callable, convertible, foreign bonds, puttable bonds, commodity bonds. Make sure you know the different kinds of bonds. I went through an explanation of the, I showed you a graph of the monetary aggregates from 2000 up to 2008. What was I showing you in there? Never mind the part about 9/11. What was I showing you about the growth rates of the different monetary aggregates? And what did that have to do with the crash of 2008? Now, as far as free cash flow goes, obviously it would not hurt you to know what I mean by NOPAT. And what we, where, how we get from NOPAT down to free cash flow. What is different about, and this goes to a larger question, a larger set of questions I could hit you with. What is different between accounting and finance? This comes into stark relief when we're talking about free cash flow versus net profit, net income. What are we doing in finance to get to free cash flow that is different from what accountants do to get to net income? And in that same regard, what is it that accountants, what distinguishes accounting from finance in terms of cost and recognizing cost? I mean, if you had an accountant get you a net income and a finance person get you the net income, which one would be a larger number? If we don't even talk about free cash flow, we just let an accountant and a finance person drive their own sets of numbers down for the same company, but their own sets of numbers down, which one would come up with a higher net income? Which one sees more costs and sees costs that are invisible? I talked about that a lot. Mother's work is never done. Now it's your turn to talk to me. Ask me questions here about what's going to be on the final exam. Yes?
Do you think the quizzes are sufficient enough, information-wise?
No, well, I mean, they would never be enough. But you need to look at that midterm. You really do, because I copy and paste some stuff. And the quizzes are greatly helpful, but you still have to go through the notes, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I'm giving you, you get a definite knowledge of what I do on an exam from those quizzes and that midterm. You know what I, how I operate and how I think. So in that regard, that's a good question. Yes, in that regard, yes. Go ahead. No, that was just too many more questions. I did that in previous semesters, but it opens up so many questions I could ask. Well, what's the market cap? How's the volume doing? What's the beta? And so I had to stop that because it just, there's so many questions I could ask. But I'm glad, that's a great question though. No, I won't. Well, yeah. Yes. I will. Yeah. I said two. Yeah, because you got the one from the midterm. And then you'll have one from what came after the midterm. Yes. Go. Well, yeah. That was one of them you can bring in. You can bring in the ratio sheet just like you did at the midterm. Yes, because I'm not going to go and look at your card to see. And you can even write on the edge of it if you want, for heaven's sakes. Yes. What else do you want to ask? Now, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you broke it up this way, but are there any chat rooms that have significantly less questions than that chat room?
Not, you know, you try to make it kind of uniform. The only thing I would tell you is that pay more attention, especially in chapters 1 and 2, to what I talked about in class, okay? And also be really careful. There are a couple places where that one author makes a baldly incorrect statement. So obviously always pay attention to the lectures. But if I were to say, where should your focus be? Chapters 1 and 2, listen to my lectures much more than what was in the textbook. Great question. Yeah. Go through a bond yield. Want to see one? Okay. ZTC, 3.5% 2040. Now, let's say you want a yield, right? You want to calculate a yield. Let's say that the quote is 98.92. So that means that the price is $989.20. You got that? Okay. Don't trip on that on this. Okay, so we need to find the yield. So here we go. This calculator turned itself off. I got to stop worrying about that. Apps. I said apps. Oh, I'm just testing you. Yeah, of course. Whoa, 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 whoa. Really? You set my butt up on purpose. Seriously. I used to be a smoker. Don't do that.
Sorry, I already showed it. Might
as well go back. Yeah, it's too late, you know. You already ruined yourself in front of us, Teach. Okay, look, and so here's how I do this. I take parentheses and I do 2040 minus 2021 times 2. Now notice, I've told you this before, and I strongly recommend, don't be an arithmetic hero. Let the calculator do the stupid math. Now the I percent, that's what we got to find in this one. Now, the price value, negative, and it will be $989.20. The coupon, we'll just take 0.0375 times face, 1,000, divided into 2 payments a year. Yes. Always assume, don't even try to ask me on the final. If it's semi-annual, it will be, because that's how it is in the real world. Now drop it down. Your face is always $1,000. Now for heaven's sakes, make sure that it is on end, because you're going to do a problem on that test where it has to be on begin. If you forget, you're dog meat on this one. So think that through before you go up here. Now, the next thing you're going to do is bring it back up to I percent and say alpha solve. You're not done yet. You did everything as a half year, so this is a half year's interest. So you're going to times this by 2, drop down. The answer is 3.83%. If you can do this, you have one of the hard questions on the test. So you have a level 3 done, right there. And I can do it the other way. I could give you the yield. Don't forget to divide it by 2. If I give you the yield, let's say I gave you a yield on this one of, the yield right now is 4.1%. So you would take the 4.1 and you would divide it by 2 to turn it semi-annual. And then you would find the price alpha solve. The price is $954.12. The quote would be $95.41. This would be if I gave you the yield and you were to find the price. Now remember, I do have a Zoom session on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. You will just go into VeggieNet and click on the office hours link. Bring something for me to eat. And if my cats are up to it, I'll have them help out with the session too. Now you've got a student evaluation survey. It has to be done by 10 o'clock. You can do it now or later. Get it done, or I will be very unhappy when we see each other again. That's all I have for you today and forever. I thank you.